Winds of time. You know, we are given through the four winds a time sequence, and it comes down to a fixed time. This is why we covered the seals in at last Passover. We're going to pick it up there and go on with the trumps and the vials, but we're going to cover it in a little different angle. We're going to go. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 and 3, back concerning the seals and bringing the four winds into this. And chapter 7, verse 1 in the great book of Revelation reads, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." In other words, these four winds, originating from all four points, four being symbolic of earth, brings about the end. In other words, it starts the action of the end. Within this, you have the seals, which must be placed in the minds of people. Let's read on. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. What did he say? Saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So the four winds have a great deal to do, and what you need to understand, if the four winds were stopped until a given time, do you know when they were given permission to go ahead? It is written, and it's very important. It gives you one of the benchmarks. That's what we're after today, okay? Because you need to know when the end, when the winds are released again, and the people have had the seal of God inserted. That is to say, all that are going to receive it. And this gives us a time fixed. God, in His Word, He gives man many opportunities. But His order of the day isn't wishy-washy. It isn't halfway. It isn't helter-skelter. It's fixed. And it is a fixed time. And you're going to hear that term a time or two. I'm even going to bring it to you out of Hebrew, where it's not translated fixed time necessarily in English. But it is a fixed time. And again, as I stated, God has a plan. And it runs on that fixed plan. And man can align with it if he wants to. If he doesn't, hey, go your way. Have a good time, you know. Enjoy yourself, but it's so much better to enjoy yourself in the plan of God and be blessed. Because when you're blessed, you have all things that bring happiness, success, and if you have those things, you just about have everything. So, having been said, let's go back to the Old Testament in Ezekiel 37. And let's pick this up. You're all familiar with the dry bones. Well, we want a second witness concerning this fixed time. So, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, and think about the sealing as it is given from the Old Testament. As it is given from the Old Testament, and it reads, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. And it caused me to pass by them around about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." What this means, they were spiritually dead. They had no teaching whatsoever. They didn't have the seal of God in their forehead. And what is man? I just taught a lecture about 2 weeks ago on when God put the breath of life after he had formed man from dirt. What is man without God? Dirt. Okay. You really don't have all that much going for you when you don't have the breath of God in you, when you don't have the seal of God in you, when you are not in conjunction with our Father, when you don't operate on his schedule, you're dirt. That's just about the way it is. And guess what your life's going to end up being? Dirt. Just about dirt. Because it's these old dry bones don't have much to look forward to paycheck, just get along. As long as I just get along. Don't you just hate to hear someone say that? I just want to get along. No, you want success with our Father. You want to know our Father's plan whereby you can be of assistance to our people, whereby you can help them. Because the seal of God is placed in people's minds by seed planting, by people. So the point, even here in the Old Testament, is bringing these spiritually dead souls back to truth. Verse 3 of this 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Question. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, Father. Verse 4. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What makes the difference? Hear the word of the Lord. It doesn't do any good just to hear without understanding. If you hear without understanding, it just goes in one ear and out the other. So it's very important. The word really means to hear the word of God and absorb it. Because there is a fixed time. He has a plan of the day. It's going to happen exactly as it's written. There's no need in you being lost, confused, or wondering what tomorrow brings when you have the order of the day right in your hand. So, hearing the word of the Lord takes a bunch of spiritually dead people and brings them into truth. Truth will do that. Truth brings life. And breath, which in the Hebrew tongue is ruach, meaning the Spirit of God, the truth of God, brings that life. Thus, in the Old Testament, we have the seal of God from long ago. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. You'll live again. You'll come back to the truth. I'm sure that some of you in your lifetime, you might have drifted a little bit at one time or the other. But you come back to your Father and his comforting embrace and touch. Verse 6, and I will lay sinew upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That's what's important, to know who's in charge. Who is your Father? Because it's family. And family takes care of family, and your Father especially takes care of his family. Why? He loves them. He truly loves them. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and bones came together, bone to his bone. I'm going to spare you me singing the old song, okay? Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. You know, if you're just a human body and you don't have the ruach, that's what breath is, spirit, wind is spirit, the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, again, what are you? You're dirt. That's about what your life would be, dirt. You want to be more than that. You want to have life. You want to be blessed. And you want God to lead you, to direct you. And he certainly wants to. That's what this is about. It's the sealing of God's children. Do you know what ultimately this comes to pass, as you learned in the seals last year? If you have the seal of God in your forehead, Satan cannot touch you. You're immune to any of his dirty tricks. You have power and authority. Use it. And don't be ever be ashamed to use it. Verse 9, that's what the difference is. You must have that spirit. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. That's the ruach. Prophesy to the spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. That's the same four winds that he said to hold off. Don't hurt the trees. Don't hurt anything until we place that seal in their foreheads. And in a sense, the spirit even has to do with placing. That is, everything is always positive when we're dealing with our Father. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Our Father uses whom he will. Our Father, even though the enemy has an exceeding great army, even more at this time, you might say, our Father, when he gives power and authority to his children, there's no match. We have the victory. Verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Being lost is a terrible sensation to think that you are. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now, many people would say, well, what has that got to do with the church? It's talking about Israel. Well, who do you think the church is? With the 10 tribes having scattered north over the Caucasus Mountains at the Assyrian captivity, later settling Europe, later migrating to this great nation, America, and God's promise that they would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Where is the church? Where is Israel? Now, if we were to continue on, and I'm not going to take you that far, after the four winds blow, he said, take a stick and take another stick and write Ephraim and Joseph and Judah and join the sticks together. That doesn't happen until the millennium, basically. So you know where this is taking place. You know where these prophecies and these touching of the people. And you know, in a sense, you can feel this today. You know, we have times in the past where we'll receive maybe 300-400 new people each day. Do you know what it has built up to in this tumultuous time now? 1,700 a day. People are hungry. People are, and they know they're lost. And they're searching. And they're finding that truth. It is so very important. So, where is the church? It's in Israel. Where is Judah? Well, most everybody knows our brother Judah. And there are many more to that tribe also. But the main thing is that people receive that truth. Now, one of the main reasons, and it's so simple, return to the book of Revelation with me. Let's go to chapter 6. I want to tell you why many people have trouble receiving the seals. They are so accustomed to reading the great book of Revelation where it said, and four angels held this and seven angels did that. Do you know the only person you can receive the seals from? There's only one place, and this is why many people have trouble with it. They forget to read with understanding. Chapter 6, this is back at the beginning of the seals. What God wanted you to know. He said, hear the word of the Lord. And in the seals, what was most important? Well, chapter 6, verse 1, great book of Revelation. We're replowing some ground, but sometimes it's necessary. A lot of people had a lot of trouble with this last year. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Who did it say gave the seals? The Lamb. Not angels. Not some written structure necessarily, but the Lamb of God. The Holy Spirit can only touch people and cause them to see the seals. Because as you cover on, as we discovered, all of the seals are given before even the first trump can sound. And what is a trump? It executes the order. A seal is where you receive the truth in your mind as to what's going to happen. Well, how do I know what's going to happen? By listening to your Father. By listening to the Word of God. No angel is going to give you the truth concerning the seals. You have to get it from Christ. You have to get it from the Son of God. You have to get it through the Holy Spirit. And that's the miracle, and that's the beauty of it. Why does he have the seals kind of out of chronological order? Because he gives them to you of importance. What is the first seal and the most important thing that you need to have in your mind given to you by the Lamb of God? Let's read it, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. This is tuxin. It's a fake imitation fabric bow of the bow in chapter 4 that surrounds God. And a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Do you know who that is? That's the Antichrist. The first seal is to know who's coming first. To know that the spurious Messiah is coming to deceive your people. Coming to deceive those dry bones. And the important thing, if you can receive that first seal, then you know and understand what you must be on guard from. That's deception and lies from Satan and his followers. Hey, they'll do it to you. And they will make it sound so religious. They make statements like you've heard me repeat it so many times. You don't have to understand God's word. You're going to be gone. You're going to fly away like a big butterfly. It's not written. You won't read that in one of the seals. Why? Because it's not true. It's a lie. And it deceives so ever many people. It creates those huge stacks of dry bones. And when God opens those spiritual graves and frees the people, giving them the seal of God, that's to say the truth in their forehead, then they know and they understand. When then the question, and to answer the question, when are the winds released to blow? That is to say, to bring the end, to begin to bring the end. This is going over even into tonight's lecture. Okay, I'm laying a seedbed here now. Don't miss it. Stay with it. Turn with me to the 9th chapter. Let's get into the trumpets. And again, I want to reiterate and make sure you understand. The seventh seal was opened before the first trumpet ever sounded. Again, picture an army. When the trumpet sounds, what is it? It's an order. It means execute the order. It doesn't mean the order has already come to pass. It simply means execute. Began. Okay. So he gives us the trumps in chapter 8, verse 1, beginning, and He speaks of this great star that fell from heaven. And of course, we know who that bitterness is that falls. And he takes us on to the time of the locust, and he gives us the first woe trump. I'm going to take you all the way to the trump that releases the four winds. Four symbolic of earth, northeast, southwest, the four seasons, and the four winds. And on the very altar of God, the four horns, four directions, always meaning earth, or that that has to do with earth. And we saw in the beginning of the trumps in chapter 9, I'm not going to cover every verse, I don't need to because you've all covered it repeatedly, and that is the smoke comes out of the pit, and God delivers in verse 4 of chapter 9 to Satan, you can go down and you can sting and bother every person. You can't kill them, but you can go down and lie to them. Every person but one that has the seal of God in their forehead, those you can't touch. Now, how could that be? Because if you have the seal of God in your head, you're not stupid enough to follow Satan. It's simple. Okay? That's just where the rubber meets the road. If you have the seal of God in your forehead and you know Satan's coming first, what are you going to tell him when he whispers in your ear sweet things? You know what, you're not supposed to meditate. That's what you'll say. That's a sin. Okay, indeed. You're supposed to say what God gives you at that moment. But you're not stupid. You know he's coming first. Why? It's a seal. It was placed in your forehead, in your mind, before the fact, before it happened. And that's what the seals consist of. And that's why God would tell Satan, hey, you can't have them. Why? They won't follow you. They won't dance to your music. They find you to be an abomination. And we do. I mean, it grieves us that he deceives our people the way he does. You just have to really almost bite your lip when you see in this great nation even the three powers and how they get on each other's feet, and common sense goes out the window oft times. It's terrible. It really hurts. But that's where we're at. And that's why we must be careful. But in the fourth verse of that ninth chapter, God said, you can't bother those that have the seal of God in their forehead. They're not going to go with you. But I want to skip then all the way down to verse 11. Let's identify who this particular king is that tries to take over the earth. And he does a good job of it, basically. And they had a king over them. This is the locust army, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, how many of those do we have? Okay. Whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. That means the destroyer. It's Satan's name. In the Hebrew tongue. But in the Greek tongue, hath his name Apollyon. Still, the base of Satan's name in the Greek tongue. So, you're given his name in two different languages. And then, do you know there are still people who will say, well, I wonder who he is. And if you think that isn't a sign of the lack of the seal of God, you would be mistaken. I mean, there are some people that unfortunately are so stupid, and they can't help it. Hey, they haven't been taught. They haven't been taught that false one is coming first in God's Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. It's a sad situation. But there are some people that would say, I still wonder who in the world that could be. Okay. Now, listen carefully. This is why we came here. One woe is past. How many woes are there? There are three. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. We got the worst two yet to come of these last trumps. The last three trumps are woe trumps. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Four, again, symbolizing earth and the power concerning earth, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river, Euphrates. Euphrates has always been the river that stands between Israel and Babylon. Confusion. And that's where they are, spiritually speaking. Health in chains. Are they the fallen angels? Of course they are, in part. Verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay a third part of men. Do you know what that is in the Hebrew? It is a fixed time. Because you have all four dates under one article, and all four under one preposition. Let's simplify that. It did not say from 22 days to 2 years, thus would happen. No, it just gave all four specific fixed times, a fixed time with God. That's when the false angels will be released, and that's when it will be too late to try to prophesy any longer. Why? Because the end is coming. That's the fixed time. The four winds will blow from the four altars of God, four horns of the altar of God. It's His fixed time. So you want to be very mindful of what happens during the sixth trump and the seventh trump, because it's the last two woes. It's when God's action begins. God kind of stays out of the picture up till that time. He lets man do it to himself. But in the lecture tonight, you're going to find out what God intends to do continuing. But know, again, when you have four time periods given in one article, there's no from two to two, okay? All under one article, meaning specifically an exact time, down to the second. In God's plan, this will come to pass. Verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 thousands, and I heard the number of them. I mean, old Satan had put together a pretty good force. You can better understand why in another place it says the whole world whored after the Antichrist. Whole world. Most of them, those that don't have the seal of God, will, unfortunately. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. Three things. 18. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. These are not human beings. They're supernatural. They're fallen angels. They're lieutenants of Satan that do have power that we don't. But we have power over it. That's what's important. This will deceive many, many people. What comes out of your mouth? Your voice. Communication. Lies, in their case. Deceiving people. That is exactly opposite of the seal of God. It's the seal of Satan as he places his lies into the minds of the people. That people follow him. That people are guided by him. He deceives them. You're going to see this. You're going to live good, and God expects you to be strong and stable, not as restless water, carrying out his plan of the day as ordered to the letter, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. You know the way a serpent has a stinger in its tail, and that's the way it captures its victim, is by poisoning it and then grabbing onto it with its little catchers, like a crawdad. Then with the serpent having no stomach, it regurgitates into the body of the victim, and it becomes the serpent's stomach. Melt its backbone. Don't let your backbone be melted by lies, by false teachings. You stick with the truth. You know, lies can delivered by supernatural entities. By that I mean angels, only they're fallen. It can be pretty impressive. Verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship the devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. They can't help you. You can have all the gold in the world stacked up and tell it to save you from wickedness of the world. It can't do anything for you other than the power of purchase. Okay? But your Father can protect you. You know, there's not a one in this room, if you've ever been a person of action, that hasn't come up to a time you thought you had messed up big time and you were in your last seconds. Something happened. Whew, that was lucky. And maybe not. Maybe not if you're one of God's elect. Think about it, all right? I'm not going super spiritual on you here. But things happen in life, all right? Verse 21. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorcerers, and nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They're just not going to do it. Why? There's no truth in them. I'm going to take you to one verse, and we're going to close, and we're going to pick this up again tonight at 7, I think it is. And we're going to take this on further. I want to pretty well chronologically establish so that you know the sequence of the trumpets and how they fall when the four winds, the winds of time, that's why I call them the winds of time. They give you fixed times. They assure you, you know, you might say, well, why is it important for me to know God has a fixed time? Well, because most of the people that teach the Father to you, they, if you're not careful, it'd be like, well, I'll get around to it. You know, like he's got kind of a helter-skelter type operation. And man can determine when. Man doesn't have anything to do. God has a fixed time, a fixed plan, and you're either in it or you're not. Period. That's the way it is. Okay. In closing, to comfort you, until we pick this back up again this evening, Luke chapter 10. You see, Christ comforted you and taught you all through. And he says in the 18th verse of the 10th chapter of Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan and lightning fall from heaven. Now, and some people will say, well, I wonder what in the world he meant by that. It doesn't need an interpreter. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven to earth. You can put it in the bank. You can go home with it. You don't need an interpreter. It's the same, the first seal. And I saw the fake white. Christ is the one that comes on the white stallion. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says when he rides the donkey in his first entrance. And the next is the true rider of the white. But Christ said, I saw it. It happened. So you can count on it. It's not to be interpreted. You either believe the Lord or you don't. Okay? So don't let somebody smoke you out. All right? verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, how was it they were going to hurt you? I give you power, dunamis. However, it doesn't happen to be dunamis in this particular case, but I'll leave it there. Ecclesia, it means a privilege to write, of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? You know what's going on. You know in your head that all they can do is smoke you. That's an old military term, blow smoke. I mean, I guess you all know what I mean. I could say it another way and it wouldn't do. Okay? Just wouldn't do. But don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise, okay? Why? You don't have anything to worry about. It gives you power over all your enemies. Well, how many is that? Come on. All your enemies. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, and they are. Evil spirits are subject to you if you have the seal of God and you've got the grit to stand up and tell them where to go. Naturally, in Christ's name. Okay. Gets it done. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Because you're in the book. You're one of those sealed that God knows he can count on. That you're not gonna run at the first time the enemy gets, you're gonna take care of business. Okay. You're gonna get it done. That's can-do type people. And this is why I want you to really think about in your daily life. You know, sometimes people will say, I just don't know why God does this to me. He doesn't. You do it to yourself. When you begin to listen to, if you're in a crybaby attitude, you're listening to a crybaby. Not a can-do type person. Not a person that knows their name is in the book. Not a person that is can-do. But a crybaby. Now, everybody has bad moments. But when you have bad moments, that's the time for you to say, Lord, you told me, you promised, I believe it, I'm going to do it. So do it. That's the way it goes. You don't, what am I saying? There's going to be some awesome things of supernatural entities, angelic beings at the very close. How do I know that? It's written. But we don't have to worry about it. But it is important that you break down the sequence of events so that you're not deceived as to when the three woes come to pass, and when the four winds blow. We'll pick that up again in this lecture this evening.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
All throughout the Word, never go to sleep at night with hard feelings. Work it out. Talk about it. And never